Today's Shir Nesech Debei Daf Lamed Gimel. We will begin on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis on the bottom line. Our Gemara continues to discuss different situations where constructing something looks like an oil, and therefore Chazal said one should avoid making something in that fashion. Amar Yehuda, Hai Madurta, they used to have like a bonfire. And the way they used to do it was that they used to make four walls out of wood. And then around the four wood walls, they would put a roof of wood. And that's how they would have a bonfire. So says the Gemara, Hai Madurta, if somebody's constructing that type of a bonfire, Mamata Mamata, if first he puts up the top and then he puts up the bottom, Shari, that is permissible because that's not the way a bonfire is constructed. But if you first put up the four walls and then you put up the tap, usher, because that's the way you make an oil. And continues the Gemara Kain Beyer. They used to put an egg on a tripod. And again, the Gemara says, if you put an egg on a tripod, so if you put on the egg first on top and then the sides, that's not the way an oil is made, and therefore it's permitted. If you're going to make the sides first and then the top, that will be considered like you're making an oil. Of course, it's not an oil deraisa, but that's what it looks like making an oil, and therefore Chazal said one should not do this on Yontif. So Rashi says that you're putting it on the top of a tripod or on top of something where you cook the egg. Ben Chananel has a different approach. Ben Chananel's approach is that you're making it that there are two eggs on the side and an egg on top. And Tosfos says that you putting eggs in that fashion is not considered making an oil and therefore would not be usher under any circumstances. There's an interesting question that the Chazon Ish asks. The minimum shear of an oil is always a tefach. An egg is not a tefach. And the Chazon Ish, because of that question, says presumably the eggs that we're speaking about here are actually eggs that are tefach wide. Or again, because it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, that's why Chazal was stricter and said that for this Issa D'Rabbanan, we're going to have to be machmer, but not that it's considered an oil. V'kein kedera, the same halacha says the Gemara, if somebody wants to put a pot and have two pots on the side, so if you're going to put the two pots on the side first and then put the pot on top, it looks like an oil. V'kein purya, the same halacha is when somebody is making a bed made out of pieces, and you have the legs of the bed, and you have the top of the bed. So you should first put on the top, and then the sides, not the sides, and then the top. Many Paiskim say that this Isser is only when the sides of the bed are not like beds that we have. We would just have legs on the side of the bed, but rather we're talking about the sides of the bed of full-fledged mechitzas. Because if they're only going to be legs around the bed, it could very well be that everybody would agree that that's not considered making an oil. The kein chavita, if somebody has barrels that he has stacked on top one on the other, the halacha is put the barrel on top and then put the barrel on the sides, not first put on the barrel on the side and then the barrel on the top. And the Rashba points out, he says that in all situations, something is not an oil really unless you need the area under it. So again, he points out that this is only an oil midrabbanan. The Shulchan Aruch says, when we stack barrels one on top of the other, we have to be very careful how to stack those barrels. This is in the Shulchan Aruch Simen Shin Tezvav. Sivav, we should be careful to stack them, the top and then the bottom, not the bottom on the top. And even though, as the Magen Avraham points out, it's a Dovah Sheni Miskaven. He's just intending to stack his barrels. Still, the halacha is that what he's doing constitutes an oil, and since what he's doing constituted oil, even though it's not his intention to make an oil, the reality is that this is an oil, and therefore it's asur. This Gemara is the basis for a famous question, and that is, can somebody carry an umbrella on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Opening up an umbrella, is that considered making an oil? And from our Gemara, it seems that opening up an umbrella maybe is making an oil, because now you have a tap, and that's the way this oil is made, and therefore maybe it's asur. So many achroinim say that opening up an umbrella is considered making an oil. That's the famous opinion of the Noida Behuda. The question that one has to discuss when we speak about an umbrella is, even if opening an umbrella, as we see in our Gemara, these various types of doing something that something is covering you, even though it's really not intended to be an oil, the halacha considers an oil. So presumably, certainly in a situation of an umbrella, which is meant to cover somebody, it should certainly be considered an oil. But what about if it's already open? Can you walk with that umbrella, or with that open umbrella? And it's the subject of a machloikus of the Noida Behuda and the Chasam Sofer. The Noida Behuda says that even though the umbrella is not your typical oil, your typical oil is stationary in one place, and this is an oil that you walk along with your umbrella, still says the Noida Behuda that an oil that's movable is still considered a valid oil. And his raya is from a Gemara that we discussed, the Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah discusses how when they used to transport the children who they raised with Tahara, that those were the children that ultimately would do the avoid of the Paraduma. So they put them on top of wide oxen, who also had boards on top of them, and the children were sat on top of those boards. So that board would be a mechitza, chatzitza, between any tumah that might be under that. But it's a movable mechitza. Yet we see it's considered a mechitza. So the fact that something is movable does not prevent it from being a mechitza. That's the raya of the Noida Behuda, that an umbrella, even though it's used by moving, it's still considered asur. The Chasam Sofer disagrees. He says only over there where the board is put on top of the animal, or the example of all of our Gemara, where something is put on top of things that are on their side, the egg, the baskets, the bed, that's when it's considered an oil. But something which is only the top, and it's not resting on top of anything else, that, he says, is not considered an oil. And the Chazon Ish says a very important point in this machloikus. The Chasam Sofer already himself defers to the Noida Behuda, and the Chazon Ish says, Hadova mosl chachamim. It's up to the chachamim that decide, l'degedah b'mokma pirtza, where they think that Hilcha Shabbos requires that we act in a certain way. V'zeh yoyse chomer, and it's even more chomer. In other words, what the Chazon Ish is saying is, once the Chachmei Hador consider and decide that something is considered asur, even though one can make a strong argument against their position, we have no right to disagree with them. We have to accept what they say. But the question is, if that's the case, as in many shuls, the minig is that on Simchas Torah, when they read Kol Hanorim and Chasan Torah and Chasan Bereishis, they spread out a talus on top of the people. And the question is that considered a oil that should be also to be made? So Rabbi Yashiv, I saw, held that it's not considered an oil, because he says, even if we're going to be machmer, as we just discussed, about an umbrella, said Rabbi Yoshua, an umbrella, the way an umbrella is constructed, is that the umbrella will stand and not collapse once you open up the umbrella. The talus has no way, does not have the ability to stand by itself. And since the talus does not have the ability to stand by itself, that in all the examples that our Gemara gave, says Rebbe Yashiv, it's a situation where after we construct it the way we construct it, it has an ability to stand independently. But a talus, the only reason it's able to stand is because the people are holding it up. That isn't considered an oil according to anybody, and therefore he paskin, and I saw that was the psak of the Shmir Shavs Kolchasai, that there is no issue in constructing and putting up the talus on top of the people, using it as a sort of a canopy on Simchas Torah. We learned in the Mishnah, one may not support a pat, but bekas with a splinter of wood, and so is the halacha by a door. Bedelus sakadatach, ask the Gemara. Pasha Pshat the Mishnah is teaching us that one is using his door to support his pat. And ask the Gemara, would anybody use a door to support a pat? What the Mishnah means to say is that just like if you have a pot that's not standing firm, you're not allowed to use a piece of wood to keep it straight, so too, you're not allowed to use a piece of wood to support your door. And in fact, that's what the Braisa teaches us. We're not allowed to support a pot with a piece of wood. And so too is the halacha, you can't use a piece of wood for that purpose to support a door. Eitzim wood was only used for firewood. And our Gemara is following Rabbi Yehuda's stricter interpretation of Muksa. And part of Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation of Muksa is that something that's intended to be used for one purpose may not be used for any other purpose. And therefore, the wood can't be wood is not meant to support doors, and it can't be used for that purpose. Rav Shimon Matar, Rav Shimon, who, as we keep on learning all around, all over, that Rav Shimon is much more lenient than Hilchas Muksa. Part of that leniency includes that if something is not in Muksa, it may be used even for any purpose, even if that's not the purpose that it's normally used for. We learned further in the Mishnah, one may not lead an animal with a stick on Yontif. Rabbi Elazar Shimon Matar and Rabbi Elazar Shimon holds it's fine, says the Gemara. Again, the Gemara wants to assume Lema, the reason Rabbi Elazar Shimon is lenient in our Mishnah, because Lema Rabbi Elazar Shimon he concurs with his father, the Lesle Muksa, who again has a more lenient interpretation of Muksa, and therefore he says that though the stick is not really meant for that purpose, still that he holds that it's mutter because he agrees with his father who has a more lenient approach to Muksa, says the Merloi. The reason here is not because of Muksa, because in this case, I feel Rav Shimon Maida. Even his father, Rav Shimon, would agree that one may not use the stick to lead the animal, because when you're using a stick to lay the animal, mishum the mechsi taman the ozel chigna, it looks like you're leading the animal to the marketplace. And of course, as we've learned many times, the halacha is one may not do business on Yontif. And doing something that gives the appearance that it looks like you're doing that is Osir. That would be, even Rabbi Shimon would agree with that. And as I sort of ran said, that even if you have a stick that you deliberately designed that before Yontif you would be able to use it to, that before Yontif you decided you're going to use it for the purpose of leading the animal. So under those circumstances, everybody would agree that it's not muksa because you deliberately designed, you signed it for that purpose, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha would be that it's also to carry, the halacha would be that one may not use it because there's a new gzera. And that is the gzera, it looks like you're taking the animal to the marketplace. The marketplace was called a chinga. A chinga means a circle. And the way their markets were constructed, the markets were made in a round circle with all the booths around the booth. And what the way we need to understand the Gemara, says the Rabbeinu Chananel, is that the first halacha we learned was a shaila in Hilchos Muksa, if you're allowed to use a piece of wood to support a pot or a door. And now the Mishnah goes on to say that even if we're going to have a machloikis between Rav Shimon and Yehuda in the first case, the machloikis of Rav Shimon and Yehuda regarding Hilchos Muksa, here we could be more lenient. And here even Rav Shimon would be machmer because there's a new gzeira of machsi lechinga that it looks like something like you're going to do business on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Chizra, if you have a piece of branch which is pointy, Rav Nachman Asur, Rav Nachman says it's Asur, Rav Sheish Yashari, Rav Nachman holds, you may not use it to roast something on Yontif because of Muksa, because you didn't use it for that, you didn't designate it for that purpose from before Yontif, and Rav Sheish Yashari, and Rav Sheish says you may. Says the Gemara, Beretiva, in a moist, when the stick is moist, everybody agrees that it can't be used because it's muksa. And since it's muksa, everybody agrees that it can't be used. And as I saw, the Tzvasemis explains, since it's moist, so nobody uses it for that purpose. And since nobody uses it for that purpose, everybody will agree that it's considered muksa. Ki pligi biyabeshta. The machlok says when this piece of wood is dry. Mandasa amaloch leinitno etzim el asokam. Going back to what we discussed a moment ago, etzim were meant for burning, so I can't use it as a spit for roasting. Or mandashari amaloch mali litzlay spa. What's the difference if I'm using it in the fashion I put the piece of meat on it? Or I want to use it as fuel that it should turn into a coal. If it's allowed to be used for cooking purposes, it's mutter. But then, says the Gemara Ikadamri, there's a different version to this machlokes. Beyabeshta, when it's dry, everybody agrees it's mutter, because it's being used for roasting purposes. And since it's being used for roasting purposes, it's fine. Ki pligi, the machlokes we have, is beritifta, when it's moist. Mandasar, the one that says that it's also dloichazi, because when it's moist, it can't be used for roasting, and therefore he'll agree that it's muksa. Mandashari, amloch, halchazi lahesagodl. Indeed, it can't be used for it on itself, but it's because it's moist. But if I'm going to be put it amongst other pieces of wood, then it would be mutter. And therefore, we could be lenient here. The halacha is yabesh the shari, when it's dry, it's mutter, tifta, but when it's moist, it's asur. And Rashi says that this is the halacha according to Rabbi Yehuda, who, as we keep on repeating, has the stricter interpretation of muksa, and therefore, when it's moist, it's asur, when it's dry, it's mutter. But rather, according to Rav Shimon, who is lenient, he would be lenient in both situations, whether it's dry or it's moist. So Tosfos has a problem with Rashi's pshat, because it's difficult to assume that the Gemara just said the halacha is a certain way, and then that halacha is only according to Rabbi Yehuda that way, and not according to Rav Shimon. And therefore Tosfos says, Rav Shimon, who is lenient, and allows wood to be used not strictly for burning, has to be wood that can be used for burning. In other words, the main use of wood is for fuel, for firewood. So what Shimon says, once the wood is in the class, in the category of firewood, it loses its status of muksa and it can be used for other purposes as well. However, if it's not in that category, because it's not dry, it's moist, it remains muksa, even according to Reb Shimon. And that's why this Gemara that we just passed in is not only going according to Reb Yehuda, it's even going according to Reb Shimon. Darash Rava, Ishalei Tekanas Dere Eitzim, a woman should not go into a place where they store the wood for firewood, Litel Mem Ud, to take out a long piece of wood that they want to use to clear the oven. So Rashi explains that the issue here is muksa. And again, Rashi is going to be explaining that the Gemara here is following the opinion of Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that the only thing you could use wood on Yontif is for firewood. So if the woman is taking the wood for a different purpose, she's violating Hilchus Muksa. However, Taisus has a different pshat. Because again, Taisus does not want to limit this to Rabbi Yehuda. And Taisus says the issue, the halacha here is that when she takes this piece of wood and she decides that she wants to use it to clear oven, that's called tikkun keli. She's making this wood into a shovel, and therefore it's in the category of tikkun keli, making it keli. And as the Mishnah Brura explains, even though this is in Siman Tuf Kuf Zayin Sif Katan Tes Vav, even though she's not actually doing anything, she's just taking this piece of wood and deciding that she's going to use that wood for that purpose. Says the Mishnah Brura, making a decision to take something and make it into something for that purpose is considered tikkun keli. But of course, the Mishnah Brura himself is bothered. Usually, tikkun keli involves doing something to make it into a keli. Here, all I'm doing is saying that I'm going to use it for that purpose. And therefore, Tosfos says that, therefore the Mishnah Brura says, it wouldn't be necessarily tikkun keli in the way we understand tikkun keli. It would be more of a noilet situation, which we've been learning from the beginning of Masechet is Asur. Vud Shenishbar, continues the Gemara, Rava teaching us, that a wood got broken on Yontif, Asur Lasika B'Yontif. We may not use it for firewood on Yontif. Let me show Masikin B'Yontif B'Kalim. We could use Kalim, they Masikin B'Shivri Kalim, but we may not use Shivri Kalim. And that the halacha is because since before Yontif they weren't in this status, and now it became that way on Yontif, so it becomes Noilad. And going back, point out the Rishonim to the first Mishnah of our Masechta, the Beis Shenol de B'Yontif. We explained that the reason a Beis Shenol de B'Yontif is Osir, because it's Noilad, it came a new creation on Yontif, and we're Machmer on with Hilchus Noilad on Yontif. Here too, this is considered Noilad. Ask the Gemara, remember the Rav Krab Yehuda Svirle the Islay Muksa, but the way we've been interpreting, Rav is everything we were explaining is because of Hilchus Muksa. And Rav is following Rabbi Yehuda's stricter interpretation of Muksa. Ask the Gemara, how's that possible? Vamle Rav L'Shamay, Rav said to his assistant, Davali Bar Avzin, roast for me a goose on Yontif, V'shodemei L'Shunra, and throw out its intestines to the cats. Because people don't eat intestines on Yontif. Now, according to Yehuda, this should be noiled, because before Yontif, the entire goose was food for human beings, and now it's being turned into animal food. Why would that not be considered noiled? And why wouldn't he be machmer if he why would Rava be lenient here if he follows the opinion of Rava that anything in such a situation is considered noiled? This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos has a problem with Rashi's pshat. He says, because people don't eat intestines in Yontif, that doesn't mean that it becomes muksa. He says, if that would be the case, the halacha is that raw meat should be muksa, because people don't eat raw meat. So Tosfos therefore explains that the intestines that the Gemara is speaking about here already began to spoil on Yontif. Since they began to spoil on Yontif, they're not usable for food for people to eat. They're only usable as animal food. So something which has the potential of being used for animal, for human being food, even though they're not eating it, it's still considered food, and it's certainly not muksa. But something which is inedible is considered muksa. Hassam asked the Gemara, Kivin the Misrachi, since they spoil, the halach is mes modatale. Everybody knows that they're going to slaughter the animal on Yontif. Everybody knows that the animal will have these intestines, and they're not edible. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that since you had a mind to use those intestines as animal food, that's why it's not muksa. But it has nothing to do with what we are discussing with. Rabbi Elazar Omer says the Mishnah, Noitel Adam Kisa Shelfanov, a person could take a splinter of wood, Lachzis Boy Shinov, to use as a toothpick. And as the Rishonim point out, it doesn't have to be Lefanov. It doesn't have to be strictly in front of him. The point that it has to be that it's in a place that's accessible to him. Anywhere that's accessible to him, that's considered Mil Shulfanov. But Taisu disagrees, and Taisu says Mufanov, it means that strictly Shulfanov. But that's what people do all the time. But anything that's not strictly Lefanov, Tosfos says, Rabbi Elazar would not be lenient. Megavev min haChatzer, a person could pick up small splinters of wood from the Chatzer, Madlik, and use them for firewood. Four, says the Gemara, says the Rabbi Elazar, Komash v'Chatzer Muchanhu, anything that's in the Chatzer is considered Muchan and not Muksa. Only what's in front of him could be used madlik for firewood. But to go to the chotzer, say the Rabbanan, according to Rashi, that you will not be allowed to use. And the reason is because collecting them from the chotzer involves a tircha. And since it involves a tircha, the chama machma. Now teaches us the Mishnah. Ein mitzien sr. One may not create fire, loyman aitzim, not from wood, loyman avonim, not from stone, loyman offer, not from earth, loyman areifim, not from tiles that become very hot by being put out in the sun, and then you put something next to it and begin to burn, loyman amayim, not from water. What they used to do was put water in a clear glass dish, which was placed under the bright sun, which acts as a lens to focus the sun rays. And when you put something that's easily burnt next to the glass, it ignites a fire. And then the Mishnah also teaches us another halacha: one may not heat tiles in order, to use them for roasting. So here we learn, and we'll speak about it in the Gemara, about the halacha of creating a fire on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda, Oichlei behema, taking food, which is animal food, Eim b'shem tikkun kili. One could take food, something which is designated as animal food, and use them to be able to make them into a toothpick. Since it's usable it's edible by animal, the halacha is that forming them into a toothpick is not osur on Yontif. Eisvei Rav Kahana Rav Yehuda, the halacha is on Yontif, metatl atzi b'samim l'riach behem. It says in the Braisa, we can move atzi b'samim, wood that has a nice fragrance, we can move them on Shabbos to smell from them. U'lahanif ben l'chayla, or to wave them before a sick person who needs air, or mylaloi, and somebody could roll these sticks between his fingers, mariach boy, to get the fragrance to come out and use it to smell. V'loyik demenu, but you can't clip it, lariach boy, to smell with it. V'im katmai, And if he did clip it, pata avlos, it's awesome with Rabbanan. Lachts is by Shinov, but if you want to clip it to use as a toothpick, like the menu, you may not do so. And not only may you not do so, but says the Gemara, Kitmai, if you did do so, Chayev Chattis. So the Mishnah Brewer says that when the Brisa says here that you could do this in front of a Chayla, says the Mishnah Brewer, it doesn't mean strictly a Chayla. The same Allah would be in front of a healthy person. The Gemara is Urcha the Milsim Nalkit. Usually they do this in front of a sick person. But the halacha is that you could do it even in front of a healthy person. So we learned the Brisa says, like the men of Larich Bai, is because we're concerned that if you're going to clip it, even though the purpose of your clipping it is to give off a good fragrance, you may end up forming it into a toothpick, which is also to do. Moreover, points out the Marshal, when the Braisa said, like the men of Larich Bai, that's only if you're using your fingers, but a knife may not be used for that purpose. The Taz disagree, and the Taz says that you could even use a knife. The Yerabba agrees with the Marshal. The Maray Masada points out that if the Marshal and the Yerabba are correct, why didn't the Gemara make that distinction? And the Kitmai, but if you did it for part of Loser, because if you only did it to give off a fragrance, so you did not intend to make a Keli with this act, and since you did not intend to make a Keli, that's why it's not Usur. But, said the Braisa, if you did it with the purpose of using it to make it into a toothpick, not only is it Usur, but it's a Chiyuv Chatas, because you made a Keli, and making a Keli on Shabbos, of course, is an Issa Deraisa. Machloikas Rishonim, which Malacha Deraisa are you over? According to Rashi, you're over the Malacha on Makab Patish. Deraisa says the Issa is Boina. Toisus is a difficult Toisus, because we know that there's Ein Binyan B'Kelim, and this is certainly no more than a Binyan. And therefore, many Davni Nezer and others don't understand how Tosfos says that it's Issa Boina, and therefore Davni Nezer says that the Issa here is the Issa of Mechatech. But what we see here is that this Brisa says that if you formed it into a toothpick, you chayev chatas. And how did Rabbi Yehuda say we're allowed to do so? Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda responds, Hashta pata avalasa. If you find a Brisa that would say that it's awesome drabonon kakoshali, it would be difficult. Because I say that you're allowed to do lechatchila. So even if you found the Brisa that said that it's pata avalosa, which always means that it's only awesome drabonon, I would have a difficulty how to reconcile the Brisa. Chayiv chatas. So certainly when you found a Brisa that says that this involves a chayiv chatas, it's certainly mibaya, is certainly difficult. Ella, the reason the Brisa is not difficult, according to my opinion, ki tanya hi, let's talk in bekoshim, that are not edible. And since they're not edible, that's why it's usur. But I was speaking about pieces of wood that are edible. And since they're edible, so they're we could be lenient. And when we fix them, it's not considered as if you made a keli. Ask the Gemara, the Brisa said, Umayloi, we could rub it or marich boy. Ask the Gemara caution, but if we're explaining that this Brisa is speaking about hard pieces of wood, b'nei mililuhu, could you just put them in between your fingers and that they will give off a fragrance? Says the Gemara, chsur mechzvachtani. This is the way we have to understand the Brisa. Umayloi, marich boy. You could take pieces of wood and rub them between your finger to give off a fragrance. And the reason that the Maram Shif says it's not also because of Moilad Reach, because it was already giving off a good fragrance. All you're doing here is enhancing the fragrance it's giving off. Or you could take off the tip to give off a good fragrance, says the Gemara. Said the Brisa, when were these lenience in place? Bracken, by softwood, Aval b'kashin, by hard pieces of wood, lo yikdemenu, you shouldn't take off the tap to give off a fragrance. V'm katmai, if you did so, pata avalosa. Lachzis by shino, but if you did it to form into a toothpick, lo yikdemenu, v'm katmai, and if you did it with that purpose, chayif chattis. Says the Gemara, tani chada, kait mamriach, but you let it take off the tip to give off a fragrance. But tani yaidach loyek demenu lariach boy. How do we reconcile these brises? Amar of zera amachiz de loykasha. Ha barakin by soft pieces of wood which were usable as animal food. You could do so. Ha b'samim by hardwoods. Then you may not do so because by hard pieces of wood we're worried you may end up turning into a toothpick, which as we're learning may not be done. And since Chazal were concerned that you may end up using it as a toothpick, that's why you can't do it under any, you have to be machmer under all circumstances. Maskula Rav Yachav Yaakov. Bekoshna Mailoi. So we're being strict when the wood is a hard piece of wood. Ask the Gemara, however, Maishna Mahadatanan, why is this different than what we learned in a Braisa? Shav Adam. As a chavis, a person could take a knife or a sword and break open the top of a sealed barrel, lechem and gregris, in order to take out dried figs with. Vachlay skaven lasses kli. As long as your intention is not to make a keli, as long as that's not your intention, it's permissible. So. And we see that Chazal did not make a gzeira that you shouldn't be allowed to do it, because if you do it, you may end up making a keli. And ask the Gemara furthermore, for Rabbi Baravada, Rabbi Baravada, Dharma Taveinu, Kavina by Rabbi Yehuda, when we went to Yeshiva Yehuda, Hayim Fashta for Yavlon Alusa Alusa. What he used to do was, he would strip off branches and give us big sticks. Afgav, the Chazia, the cost of the Nagav Chetzinoi. Even though the wood was suitable to use as handles for axes or shovels, he wasn't concerned that somebody's going to take those pieces of wood and turn them into a shovel. So we see that we're not concerned that if you're going to do something, you're going to end up taking it for that purpose. It says the Gemara Lekasha. The Braisa that says that you're not allowed to do it follows the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, who holds that forming a toothpick is also medaraisa. And since he holds forming a toothpick is also medaraisa, anything that could be done for that purpose, we have to be machmer. Vavgav Vaha, the braisa that says we can take the hard pieces of wood, follows the opinion of Rabbanon, that hold that there's never issue of doing so, and the Midaraisa, and that's why we could be more lenient. Taisus gives two reasons here. Taisus, the Vayamaskal Kiavinun, speaks about smelling Besama Matzah Shabbos. And Taisus says, the reason we smell Besama Matzah Shabbos is because we're concerned about the Nesham Yisera, and also that on Shabbos there is no Gehenim in session, and Matzah Shabbos Gehenim comes back into session, and the smell of the burning of Gehenim gives off a bad odor, and that's why we smell Besamim on Matzah Shabbos. So, another pshat that the Torah says, that a person is suffering, is in pain, because the Shabbos goes away, and therefore the Besamim are there to help him, relieve him from his suffering, that he's suffering because Shabbos goes away. So Tosfos discusses, the Rabbeinu Tam was asked, what about smelling Besamim on Yontif that is on Matzah Shabbos? So he says that we don't make Besamim then, even though we should make Besamim because it's Matzah Shabbos, but it's an embarrassment to Yontif that Yontif is now and we're smelling Besamim. But, says Taisus, that a Matzah Yontif, a Matzah Yom Kippur, we don't make a Bayer Minah B'samim, because the halacha is that there's no Nisham Yisera. And as I explained previously, Even if we'll say that there is a Neshama Yisera on Yontif, it's a totally different type of Neshama Yisera. It's a Neshama Yisera that we could hold on to. The Neshama Yisera of Matzah Shabbos is a Neshama Yisera that goes away, that we have no way of holding on to that Neshama Yisera. The Neshama Yisera of Matzah Yontif, since we bring the Kedusha of Yontif, we have the ability to say, to hold on to that Neshama Yisera. And this is the source for the minig, that by Mincha and Shabbos, we say Tzutkos Chetzedek, because we're already starting to speak about Gehenim, which we just mentioned, is going back into session Matzah Shabbos. But if Yontif is a Matzah Shabbos, even if Gehenim is in session on Yontif, but because of Kavod Yontif, as we mentioned as well, it's inappropriate that we should say Tzitkoscha. It's a degradation of the of our respect for Yontif. So the Gemara goes back to the Machlokes of Melezer and Rabbanan that we just mentioned. The Tanya Belezer, I'm a Noitel Otum Kisim Shulfanov. A person could take a piece of a splinter of wood, Laks by Shinov, because it's right in front of him. He only could take something which is already designated for animal food. And since it was already designated for animal food, that's why it's not muksa. The shoven, everybody agrees, that you shouldn't form it into a toothpick. Vim cut my lachs by shayin of lachs by sedalis, but if you formed it to use as a toothpick or a key, b'shayg b'shag b'schayiv chatas. If you did that b'shabes y'chayiv chatas, but meze b'yontif tzayfik saboim. And the Rav points out why by Shabbos do we speak about shayig, and by yontif we spoke about a meze, because by Shabbos shayig is more common than meze, and moreover on Shabbos even by a shayig there is some sort of a punishment that you have to bring a Karm Chattis. By Yontif, you're not chayv any punishment unless you did the Avera b'mezit. B'shayg b'shabbos chayv Chattis, b'mez b'yontif soifik saboim, divir b'leza. And the Chama hold that even if you did this, ein ze el mil shem shvus, it's only Issed Rabbonim. Rabbi Leza the Karm Chattis, Chayiv Chattis. So Rabbi Lazar, who says forming a splinter into a toothpick is Chayiv Chattis. Hochop, so when we speak about these pieces of besom wood, he says Pata Avalosar. You shouldn't take off the tip, because Chazal were very concerned that you may end up with an Issa Deraisa. Rabbanan the Kamer Hasam. The Rabbanan, who on the other hand, hold that even if you made it into a toothpick, it's only going to be part of loss. It's only going to be this. The Rabbanan, Hocha Motel Chetchila over here, are going to hold its Motel Chetchila. Ask the Gemara, the Lesler, the Belezer, or the Tanan, the Belezer does not agree with what we learned in the Mishnah, that Shoiva Adam is a Chavos, Lechem and McGregor's, that you can open up a barrel, break open the top of a barrel to take out the figs. Uvachi Laskavin Lasses Kaili, that as long as you don't make a Kaili. So we see that if you're not intending to make a Kaili, it's not, it's mutter, and we're not concerned that you may come, we're not concerned that you may come to make a Kaili, which is an Issa Deraisa, on Ravashi, answers Ravashi, Ki Tanya, he. That Bryce is talking about mustaki, a barrel that was already broken from before. And since the barrel was broken from before, that's why it's not, so it's barely stick together. That's why when you open it up, it's not considered that you make a keli. And that's why he, even Rabbi Lezer, will be more lenient. The question, of course, that comes up when we speak about the shaila, this is the shaila for a ladder open up a jar, are we allowed to open up a soda bottle, or we're open up a lot of, are we allowed to open up a can on Yontif? Here, it seems that if maybe, the, here the Gemara says they were allowed to open up a mustaki. But the mustaki, as we just said, was barely stuck together. And that's why it could be with more makel. But when we have a full-fledged bottle or full-fledged can, maybe it's awesome. So there's many different psakim to the shaila. Some are machmer because they hold it's making a keli. The Chelkis Yaakov makes a very interesting distinction. He says if you're opening up a sardine can or you're opening up, let's say, a soda bottle, a soda can, that you're going to eat up all the sardines or drink up all of the soda in the can, so that's not, at one time, that's not considered making keli. But if it's going to be reused, you're not going to use up all of the contents of that jar, of that can, of that bottle, there it's more making into a kalim. However, there are many paiskim that say, since these are types of kalim that are not reused, so it's not considered that you're making a keli when you're taking something that you're not going to reuse. And since it's not going to be reused, that's why the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosoy takes quotes of Shlomo Zalman Orbach that was a little more lenient. And that might be the halacha here also. Although, as I saw from Ramosha says that the reason we're more lenient with a mustard key is because it wasn't a full-fledged keli in the first place. But if we were starting off with something which was a full-fledged keli, even though it's not a real keli, it's not our intention to use it for that purpose, maybe we could be more lenient. Rashi, in the Rashi, the Ramaskal B'Mustaki, the last line of Rashi and Ahmed says, Kach Amli Rav Shmuel HaMechuna Chosin Min Barbeshta. And many Mefarshim try to understand what does Rashi mean when he says HaMechuna Chosin. We know that every word of Rashi is, of course, is deliberate. And there's a reason Rashi used the word Mechuna. So Rabbi Chanan Vasseman in the Kibbutz Mamorim explains like this. Sometimes, if you want to say about a certain individual that he's a great individual, but really, he isn't a great individual. But by you telling people that he's a great individual, people may trust him when they shouldn't trust him, and they could come to make a terrible error could happen because of that. In order to avoid any such mistake, that's why Rashi was very deliberate. He said he's mechuna chassid. He had the title of a chassid. Don't be fooled and don't really believe that he's a chassid. Rashi says, I'm not sure that he's actually a chassid. And that's why Rashi uses the words hamechuna chassid. We learned in the Mishnah, Megabim and a chatzar, we learned that you could collect pieces of wood from the chatzar. Tana bara Megabim and a chatzar. You could collect pieces of wood from the chatzar. A madla can use it for firewood, says the Gemara, because shekamash v'chatzar, anything that's found the chatzar muchenhu, it's considered not muksa. Uvach layasa tziburin, you're not allowed to make piles of it. Rav Shimon matter, you are even allowed to make piles of it. Ask the Gemara, what's the machlokes between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Shimon if you are or you are not allowed to make stacks out of it? Rav Yehud Mar Sover, the Tanna Kamma holds, Mechsi, if you make a stack out of it, Mechsi Kamachvel Machli Yamachruna. It looks like you're preparing it for after Yontif, and we know that you're not allowed to be making, you're not allowed to do any preparation on Yontif for after Yontif. Mar Sover, Kederosoi Machachsalov. The fact that you have a pot there and you're going to use it as firewood is clearly indication that you're not preparing it for after Yontif, and therefore it's not awesome. The question, of course, is that why isn't there an issue here of ma'amr? The halacha is that one is not going to make stacks out of something on Yontif. So there are many answers given. One is that the issa of ma'amr is only b'mokum geduloi, only in a place where it grows. And this is not where this wood grew. That's the Rashba's pshat. Another explanation is that ma'amr is only when something is stacked, is tied together. Here we're not tying it together. Another pshat is that ma'amr is only by something which is food. This is not food. And since it's not food, it's not considered the Isra ma'amr.